Isaiah, the 59th chapter. And I want to read down, beginning with verse number 1, and read several verses in this prophecy. And as I'm reading, now this was a prophecy, as many of the Old Testament prophecies were. They were a direct message to the times, to the people of God who were wayward and needing to get back to God, but also a very direct prophecy, I believe, to the church and to the times that we're living in right now. Amen. I've read several different writers who talk about how that Isaiah speaks to America. Isaiah speaks to our present day. And I know that what I see in this, it's not just me, but a lot of people, a lot of preachers have looked at these verses of Scripture and see the parallel between what is here and what's going on in our world and in our nation today. And when we read the Bible, we don't need to read it as something that's just some distant thought, but we need to understand that it's a message that is to be directed to us personally, a word from God to our present situation. Amen. That's the miracle of the Bible. Amen. That it can speak directly to a group of people 3,000 years ago, but speak to us today as well and be just as real and just as on target to our present situation. Isaiah 59, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity. The act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made their crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. There is judgment far. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday, as in the night. We are in desolate places, as dead men. We roar like bears, and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving, uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. He that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he shall repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. We see in these verses that I just read for you, we see the problem, we see the source of the problem, and we see the cure. Amen. I don't believe that God ever deals with us or convicts us of our wrongdoing or our sinful ways, but what he doesn't also provide a cure. Amen. If there's going to be a diagnosis of our sin and our wrong, our need, you can be sure that God is a God who is going to say, here is your evil, here is your wrong, this is why that you're in the predicament that you're in. Now, here's the cure. Praise God. And there is an answer. There is an answer. As I said at the beginning of all this tonight, I am so grateful to be a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I firmly believe that the church at the close of this age is going to be a victorious church. Amen. A victorious church. And that's why I want to be a part of it. Because I know that in the end that there is going to be victory. And that we are going to win in the end. Even though there are many, many struggles and many things that oppose the work of God in these days, I am confident that God's promises are true. Amen. We just need to lay hold of those promises and believe God to pour out his Spirit upon us. And I trust that's in you, that's in your heart tonight. And I want to just encourage you to open up your heart to what the Lord wants to say to us here in this service tonight. He starts off by describing, really, here's the problem. And at first he's just saying, the problem is not God. The problem is not that God has failed or that he's come up short. The problem is not that God has not kept his word. God is faithful to his word. Amen. And he will do what he has promised and what he said that he would perform on behalf of his people. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. God is a faithful God. And if we will allow God to deal with us as a church and get us back to the place that we're willing to seek the Lord, God, he will answer prayer and he will move just as sure as anything that you can put your confidence in, as sure as your salvation, as sure as anything that God has done. I want you to be confident of this reality here tonight, and that is that God will move for his people if you are willing to call upon the Lord. Another verse of scripture where Isaiah describes this same type of situation is Isaiah 50 in verse 2, where he says, wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? And then he answers it in the same verse. He said, behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Just with the words of the Lord, he can change the circumstance and turn the tide. Amen. I believe that the revival that God wants to send, that always seems to be this thing that we're praying about and we're asking the Lord to send to us here at this location, it is not because God has not kept his word. God is faithful and he will keep his word. But the fault lies with our lack of willingness to deal with the things that are stopping God from working and moving. From allowing God to deal with us on a personal level and even corporately as a body here at this church, that we would allow God to deal with us so that there would be a purging and a cleansing and a preparation for the move of God in our lives. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Now, it's a biblical concept, a biblical principle that if you are regarding iniquity in your heart, God is not going to hear you. If you allow things into your life that are not pleasing to the Lord, that are sinful, iniquity, things that have come into your life, and even sometimes churches corporately can get involved in things that displease the Lord, and it really stops the working and the moving of the Spirit of God. We don't want to do anything to quench the move of God. Amen. We don't want to do anything. We want to make sure our spirit is right. We want to make sure that we are open to the things of God. We want to make sure that there's no iniquity. There's no, you know, the word iniquity really means self-will. That we want everything, you know, according to our wishes and our way. That there's no iniquity in our life. That there's no sinfulness. No stepping out of line with the word of the Lord. That's the reason why that we're dealing each week with these Ten Commandments. As basic as they are, I've already had people who have made mention to me that they have been very convicted in some of these areas of their life, that they have put other things in their life as idols. They have allowed other things to become too important to them, or they have been careless with their words, or that it is possible as a Christian to get off base, out of line, away from the will of God. And when we do, then we lose the favor of God. Prayer is absolutely essential and important to us. And I want to ask you to pray with me about this, that during the month of October, that we would just take that entire month as a month to seek the Lord with prayer and fasting. And I'll talk more with you about those 31 days in the month of October as an opportunity to seek the Lord, to really call upon the Lord. And I know that many of you are praying, and I'm grateful that you are, but I know that all of us, there are areas where we could definitely pray more. We could definitely dedicate ourselves to this to a greater degree. It's almost, this is my perspective on things, it's almost as if we're at a place where there are wonderful things that God is wanting to do, but we have done all we can do in our own strength. We can't do any more. You can make plans. You can organize. You can do your best. We can have instruction on, you know, we need to be friendly to people, and we need to reach out to people, and we need to care about their souls. And none of those things are bad. There's a lot of practical things we can do that are pleasing to the Lord. Don't get me wrong, but I just want you to understand how I feel as to where we are as far as this local church is concerned. I believe we've just kind of come to a place that we've done a lot about all that we can do in our own power. And we're at a place where we need God. We need God to do some mighty things. We need God to break through and to tear down some strongholds and to break through in some areas in your family, my family, in our lives. We need some supernatural working and acting of God among us. So amazing and so surprising that we stand back in awe of the fact of what God is doing. But that will only happen whenever we get this real, sincere burden to pray and to put our trust in the Lord. And whenever you trust in yourself and you go your own way, that's what the prophet here is describing. A generation of people. That's what we see in the United States of America today. A nation that at one time was very God-centered, very, very biblically centered. And how that we've gradually, over the years, shifted and moved further and further and further away from God. Now it's almost to the point that we can't even distinguish ourselves now as a Christian nation. We have come to the place now that we can't really even see the hand of God at work in so many circumstances as we have witnessed in the past history of our nation. And across the board, it's affecting every area of our life. It's affecting families, marriages. It's affecting the economy because people aren't following the principles of God's word related to work and the proper handling of money. It's affecting everything in our society today because we have backed away from God. We've turned away from the word of the Lord. And when that happens, then we find ourselves in a terrible, terrible predicament. That God is not in our lives. You see, God and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is a gentleman. He's not going to push his way into your life. You're going to have to welcome him into your life. And so in the United States of America and many churches across this nation, sad to say, God has been pushed to the side. The word of God is no longer preeminent in many churches. Other things have become more important other than the truth of God's word and the emphasis on holy living and a life that's pleasing to God. And as a result, we've separated ourselves from God as a nation, and we find ourselves in a very, very precarious situation right now. Notice some of the things that are the result of these decisions. Some of these things. Verse 3. Your hands are defiled with blood. Your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongues have muttered perverseness. There's this bent toward every evil thing. It's like it was in the days of Noah, that men did only evil. And by the imaginations of their heart, it was only evil. That's all they could think about, was some new wicked thing they could be involved in. Some new vice that they could participate in. That's the generation. And that's the results of a nation and a people that turn away from God and allow these things to separate them from the Lord. Verse 4, none called for justice. None pleads for truth. There's no demanding for justice, no truth. No one is willing to speak up for the truth. We are faced with a crisis now in our country that to speak up for the truth, you may find yourself in serious trouble. You may find yourself even possibly facing charges if you just tell the truth according to the word of God. It's not socially acceptable anymore. Because the morals have flip-flopped and everything has changed in our nation and everything is opposite of the ways of the Lord. So now there's no one demanding justice. No one saying that truth is an absolute thing that's as revealed in the word of God. No one's bold enough to declare the word of the Lord. I know you probably have read this verse 5 about the cockatrice eggs and weaving spiders' webs. It's really describing a people that instead of destroying dangerous things, they nurture it. Instead of squashing the egg and destroying it, they nurture it. They want to somehow perpetuate it. Make it happen, make it grow, make it flourish. The things that are despicable and evil and wicked and of this world, instead of putting them to shame and putting them down, people are wanting to promote them as something that's to be honored and to be appreciated. That's really what it's describing there. Instead of destroying dangerous things, instead that they would promote them and encourage them and perpetuate them. Verse 6, their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover. That instead of being ashamed of what they're doing and trying to hide or cover up from the things that they're doing, they're proud of it. They're proud of it. And that's why they say, we've come out of the closet now. We're out in the open. And some of the most horrible, wicked sins now are out in the open, are being discussed, and they're being promoted in the music world, in the movie world, in the television world, everywhere you look, all the entertainment sources in our world to do, all promoting all of these wicked, evil vices. It's the result of a nation that has said no to God and has allowed sin and iniquity to separate them and God. And oh, that's where we are now. And then to make it even a little bit more personal here, when we're not willing to stand for right, when we're not willing ourselves to set those things aside and to declare what is righteous, what is holy, what is right, then we are separated from God as well. And that's not a position I want to be in. I don't want to be in that place. I want to know that I can call on the Lord at any time. I want to know that I can turn to the Lord when I'm in need or at any particular time, that I can just call upon the Lord and believe God that He's concerned and that He'll help us in our needs. I don't want something. But this world has turned their glory into shame. They're proud of the things that they should be ashamed of. Everything has been so twisted and upside down in the world that we live in. Their feet, verse 7, their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. They're anxious to do evil. Their minds are perverted. They're not thinking right. And as a result of sin, there's an insanity that comes with sin. And just falling into the depths of sin. And so they run after it and they pursue the things that are wicked and evil. That describes the United States of America. It describes the modern culture today that you and I live in. Now, I'm not going off through this tonight so that you'll be discouraged, because there's a wonderful part here at the last part of this text. Amen. So stay with me. Don't get too down. Verse 8, the way of peace they know not, their judgment, and there is no judgment in their goings. This is such a time of great spiritual darkness. People don't know what to do. They don't know. I know that we have all heard the term post-Christian America. That's the world we live in now. 50 years ago, it wasn't the case. But today it is. As I've said, I was in a public school where they, you know, the teachers taught us the Bible. We memorized the Bible. We prayed and did the pledges every day. It was a Christian oriented. Not that everybody was a Christian, but there was this understanding that as a nation, that our general focus, our general underlying morality was based upon the Bible and Christian principles. That's not been that many years for us now to turn away from that. And now we're in a darkness where people don't know what is right. They don't know the road to take. They don't know what is right and what is wrong. There's such a confusion in our world today. And that's what it's describing there in verse number 9. There's no judgment. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light. Now right here in this verse, you begin to see the desperation that comes as the result of this kind of a direction. That there is a direction, there is a desperation. And I believe that that's exactly where we are in our nation right now. I believe there's so much darkness. We've seen this with all these high-profile suicides. People that have multiplied millions. What was his name? Williams, the actor that just committed suicide. I looked it up. He's worth $42 million. Now, if money would satisfy, if money would give you peace, then he had plenty of money. But there's this desperation in the minds and the hearts of people today. That's what we're faced with, a world today of people. They're in darkness. They don't know what to do. They don't have any answers. They're just giving up on their life. It's a hopelessness. Verse 10, we grope for the wall like blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We're in desolate places as dead men. I have to tell you, that's the kind of people that we see when we go out there in the world and we knock on doors. That's the kind of people that you see out there that don't have Jesus in their life. And the desperation that's in their eyes and the hopelessness of their circumstance. Right here in London, Kentucky, in our community right here. They're out there by the hundreds and thousands of people that don't know God. They don't understand that Jesus is the answer. to their circumstance in their life, and they're in darkness. They're groping around like a blind person because they really don't know what to do. That's why they need the gospel. That's why they need you on your job and in your neighborhood and wherever God has placed you to be that light to them, to be a witness to them, to help them to see that there is a way, there is an answer, there is a solution to the desperation of their life. Verse 11, it says, we roar all like bears and mourn, soar like doves. This is describing, even in the animal kingdom, there is this mourning. And we know that that all creation groans. And it's all looking for a better day when the kingdom of God is revealed. We're all living in this world that's fallen and feel the effect of sin upon us. We look for judgment, there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify. You see, what we need to be praying and asking the Lord is bring this generation to this place right here, to where they recognize we're hopeless. We can't do anything. As long as they can come up with some man-made solution, they'll continue to just kind of live in that kind of a lifestyle. But let's pray that they come to the end of themselves. Let's pray that they come to a place of hopelessness and desperation, so that they could see that they are without hope, and that they are reaching and searching and longing for some answers. They can only come from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering the words of falsehood, judgment is turned away backward, that this generation would begin to realize what the effect of sin is. Amen. Amen. I don't know what it's going to take for some folks to wake up. I pray for my loved ones, and I know that you pray for yours. I pray, Lord, somehow, get into their thinking. Wake them up. Help them to see that the pathway they're on is a road of destruction. And there's no hope in the way they're following. No hope. That they're going to wind up in a horrible, horrible place called hell if they keep on this pathway. But we need to pray, oh God, awaken them. Help them. Let them come to a place of desperation where they begin to search for real answers. And help them to come to the place that they recognize that see themselves and they see the error of their way, and that they're going, that everything is turned around backwards. They think they're right, but they're wrong. There has to be some kind of an eye-opening experience. I want you to know that's only going to happen as a church, as we get a burden to pray for them, to intercede for them like we have never before. Amen. That's why that I want you to prepare yourself and ask the Lord to help you, that in this coming month of October that we would really seek the Lord with our whole heart. As I said, I just believe that there are many things. We're on the precipice of God doing some wonderful, mighty things that we'll never see them happen as a church if we do not get a hold of God. If we don't seek the Lord with our whole heart, if we don't pray, if we don't fast, if we don't really seek the face of God, there are many wonderful, wonderful, mighty works that God wants to do. We'll never realize it. We'll never see it happen unless we're willing to pray and to call upon the name of the Lord. Every true move of God, every true revival has been preceded by people who interceded, who prayed, who sought the Lord, and who fasted, who sacrificed, and made this something that they were pursuing with their whole heart. Now, I want to ask the Lord to help us to do that in this coming month of October. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it. And all that's going on in our world today, It's all that's going on in the United States of America, all that's going on in the church world. Be comforted with this wonderful truth. God sees what's going on. God is aware. He is aware. And he sees exactly the predicament. Amen. He can see your loved one where they are in their desperation, in their darkness. He knows right where they are. And you don't even really fully understand how that God is working in their mind, in their heart. But God knows what's going on. He knows what's going on in our nation. A lot of people feel like that America is too far gone. No, I don't. I won't accept that. I just won't accept it. I believe that all things are possible. Everything is within the reach of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ if they're willing to pray and pay the price for it. Amen. We can see God move. We can see a return to God. We can see God working and moving. And if we don't call upon God with a greater intensity than we ever have, then I fear what may be coming in the next coming year, 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road. I fear what will happen and what we'll be facing in a world that's continually going deeper and deeper in sin and further away from God. We need to pray. We need to call upon the Lord with our whole heart. Hallelujah. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation. Now you have to look at Isaiah's message here, understanding that he was prophesying some probably close to 3,000 years before Jesus the Messiah came. And so he was prophesying to a group of people, but also this prophetic message is to you and I as well. So they were looking forward today when the Messiah came, but we look back to that reality that he did come. He did come. Amen. And his arm, therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, his righteousness, it sustained him. There was no man. I think that we need to be reminded of this truth, and that is that we're going to need more than what a man can do. We need more than what any individual can get done. We need Jesus. We need God's presence, God's power in a wonderful and a mighty way. Oh, in a desperate way. Skipping on down here to verse 19. So shall he fear. Those previous verses 16, 17, and 18 talk about all the wonderful things that the Messiah was going to accomplish in his coming. In verse 19, it says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. Amen. Now that pretty much covers the whole earth. Amen. From the east to the west. That his glory is going to shine. Amen. That God has promised. And I believe in a last day revival. I believe in a last day pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon his people and upon the church. I do believe that his glory will shine from the east to the west in the last days. And I really want to be a part of that, what he is doing. Amen. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the east, from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Well, that describes what the flood was. The previous verses that I talked about there, beginning with verse number 2, all the way down through about verse 14 or 15 there. That describes the flood of evil, the flood that's like a that all of this wicked and perverseness is like a flood that's out of control. It's taking everything in its pathway. That's the kind of world that we live in right now. Wickedness everywhere. And when we try to stand up against it, we are no match for the enemy. We are no match for the enemy. I'm going to fail. You're going to fail. As a church, we'll fail unless the Spirit of the Lord raises up the standard. Amen. Amen. It's the Spirit of the Lord that raises up the banner that signifies who we belong to, the banner that says He's the one that is the God of our battles, and He will win our battles for us. Amen. And no matter how great of a flood of evil and perverseness and all of these things that have been described in this prophecy, it doesn't matter how awful it is. It comes against us like a flood, and we will be caught up in it and swept away by it unless we seek the face of God and we experience a move of the Spirit. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord, with the rising of the tide, with the rising of the move of God, that move of the Spirit of God will hold back the flood tide of wickedness. We're no match for the enemy, but when we're filled with the Spirit, when we're a church that's revived, full of the Holy Ghost, working and ministering by the Spirit of God, when we're doing what God has called us to do under the anointing and the unction of the Holy Ghost, then we are able to stop the flood tide of this generation that's opposing us and coming against us in so many, from every direction. Amen. Glory to God. The answer is raise the banner. Raise the banner. How do we do that? By a move of God. By a move of the Spirit of God. How is the battle won? By recognizing that we cannot do it. We cannot do it, no matter how much experience we've had, no matter how long we know how to do things as far as church is concerned, and we can go through the formality of what we do week after week after week in church, but we need a move of God. We need the Spirit of God to reign. We need the Spirit of God to be working and flowing and working in every one of our lives, and when we do, then this effort of the enemy will be put to a stop. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. The answer is, go back to verse number 1. And when we pray, get everything cleared out. Amen. Get everything cleansed from our life. All iniquity, all lawlessness, all sinfulness. Clear everything out of our life. Purge ourselves from every work of the flesh. Cleanse ourselves, so that whenever we call upon the Lord, He hears us. Hallelujah. But there's nothing that separates us and God. But there's this connection, this open fellowship that we have with the Lord, that we can call on His name at any time, in any circumstance, and know that when we do, that all of heaven is behind us. The Spirit of the Lord is with us. That God is our defender. He's fighting our battles for us. We're not going to fall prey. I've heard people say, well, I don't want to have a lot of children. These days are too wicked and too evil. Well, go ahead and have the children that God blesses you with. But just make sure that you teach them. Make sure that you teach them the importance of serving God and being filled with the Spirit of God. And teach them how to pray and how to call upon the Lord so that they won't be swept up in the flood tide of these last days. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So would you join with me? I feel my own personal need. And I just want to ask you to join with me. In this next month, not that we have to wait till October, but we just are designating these 31 days in October as an extra effort to seek the face of God. And there have been good numbers in recent prayer meetings, good number of folks that have been coming to these prayer meetings. Maybe as many as a dozen, 10 or 12 last night, and there's been good attendance and a good spirit of prayer in these prayer meetings, for which I'm grateful. And it's the right thing. It's the right direction, amen, to call upon the Lord and to seek the Lord with our whole heart. Amen. Oh, God, we're thankful. We're thankful. Lord, from a human perspective, Lord, We see a world that's pretty dark and pretty hopeless. And we feel the pressures, Lord. Oh, how great the flood tide. And the pressures of the flood of wickedness and evil is against us. Lord, we know we're no match. We cannot withstand in these times. Because of that, Lord, we just need you to move in our lives. We need a renewing of your spirit. We need to be filled with your spirit once again. We need to be walking in the spirit. Lord, we just need, Lord, your Holy Spirit that is sufficient for this hour. Oh God, we know that you will equip your church if we'll pray. If we'll call upon your name, there's nothing that you will withhold from a church that's willing to truly seek your face. Hallelujah. Oh God, help us to lay hold of the promises of God. Help us to see wonderful, mighty things, Lord, that you have in store for us as a people. I ask, oh Lord, in Jesus' name, praise the name of the Lord.